Imagine waking up every morning in the same 11 by 11 foot space, not just today or yesterday, but for your entire life. This is Jack's reality on his fifth birthday. To him, room isn't a prison, it's the entire universe. Everything here has a proper noun and personality. Bed, wardrobe, table, plant, and his favorite utensil, Melty Spoon, who's not the same as the others. These aren't just objects, they're characters in his life story. The morning unfolds with carefully structured rituals, counting 100 cereal pieces for breakfast, playing Hum where they guess songs like Macarena, taking vitamins to avoid going back to heaven. Ma has transformed mere survival into something resembling normalcy through exercises, story time, and educational games that give their days purpose. Jack waters plant with her 9 leaves, plus one tiny new one, secretly admires spider's extra-thin silver web that Ma would brush away as Birdy, and transforms room's dimensions into a playground where bed becomes an island and the space between wardrobe and wall turns into a racetrack for toy cars. Door, made of shiny magic metal, beeps after 9 when Jack must hide in wardrobe, a boundary between their world and whatever lies beyond. Each morning, Jack watches Dora the Explorer, interacting with her as if she were real. Ma limits him to one show daily because TV rots our brains and mutes commercials, which mush our brains even faster, a small effort to protect his developing mind. Television introduces Jack to concepts he's never experienced firsthand. Wildlife shows and boxing matches become his only reference points for animals and sports, creating a significant cognitive disconnect. The breakthrough happens when Jack sees a commercial showing a man taking pills from a bottle identical to their killers, painkillers. This prompts Ma to explain that TV shows real things that exist outside room, the first crack between Jack's contained universe and the vast reality beyond. Television serves as both connection and separation, displaying the outside world while highlighting the gap between what Jack sees and what's real. Within room's confines, Ma has created a structured daily routine that transforms imprisonment into something approaching life. Their days include physical education, with track, upside-down table on bed, trampoline, Jack bouncing, and corpse, lying still, to exercise despite space limitations. Ma fashions a ruler from a cereal box to measure Jack, 3 feet 3 inches tall. They repeatedly read their 10 books, with Jack treasuring each reading, especially Dylan the Digger, though Ma makes a face about reading it again. They create games from limited resources, Labyrinth from taped toilet rolls, and Orchestra by drumming on furniture. Meals become learning opportunities as Jack helps prepare dinner, chopping broccoli with zigzag knife while singing. These rituals provide structure where time might otherwise blur, create opportunities for Jack's development, and forge bonds, transforming mere endurance into living within the most restrictive circumstances imaginable. Every night, Jack sleeps in wardrobe to hide from old Nick, their captor. Ma doesn't want him looking at me. Even as a baby, she always wrapped me in blanket before he came in, Jack explains. Wardrobe functions as a space within a space, a confinement that paradoxically represents safety. Jack has decorated its interior with Ma's drawing of him sleeping where old Nick won't see it, personalizing his hiding place. While Jack counts 217 bed creaks, we understand what the child doesn't. Ma endures sexual assault to protect her son. After breaking rules like extending remote's antenna through the slats, Jack notices marks on her neck that look like his fingerprints, a chilling reminder of their danger. The wardrobe also symbolizes psychological compartmentalization. Just as Jack is physically hidden, Ma has mentally separated aspects of her experience to maintain her sanity and mothering ability, a separation becoming harder as Jack grows more perceptive. The pivotal shift occurs when Ma begins unlying to Jack. It starts when Jack notices a TV commercial showing a man with pills identical to their painkillers, forcing Ma to explain that television shows real places outside room. This revelation shatters Jack's understanding of reality. Ma explains that room was originally a garden shed that old Nick modified with soundproofing. When they spot an airplane through skylight writing a letter I on the sky, Jack receives tangible proof that outside exists. Ma reveals she was kidnapped at 19 while walking to her college library. Old Nick tricked her with a story about a sick dog, then blindfolded, drugged, and brought her to room. During early captivity, she cried constantly, slept excessively, and attempted escape by digging through the floor, only to find a chain-link fence beneath. This revelation process transforms Jack's world. Television becomes a window into reality, the skylight connects to an actual sky, and he learns he was born in captivity. Ma's revelation that they must escape marks the narrative's turning point. When Jack suggests fantastical methods, Ma develops a realistic plan. Jack will feign illness, forcing old Nick to take him to a hospital where he can alert authorities. This creates immense psychological challenges. Jack must separate from Ma and face the outside he barely believes in, while Ma must entrust their salvation to a 5-year-old. When Jack hesitates, Ma frames it as a heroic rescue mission only he can accomplish, appealing to his bravery while acknowledging their fear. After old Nick refuses to take Jack to the hospital, Ma quickly devises Plan B. Jack will pretend to be dead, wrapped in a rug for burial. Their practice sessions prove both physically and emotionally demanding. The escape sequence is harrowing. Jack remains perfectly still as old Nick carries him outside. His first experience of outside filters through the suffocating rug, creating a liminal space between captivity and freedom. His desperate struggle to free himself symbolizes breaking from the psychological constraints of his former existence. Jack's escape and Ma's rescue begins their difficult adjustment. In the hospital, Jack faces nightmares while Ma battles her own demons. Their friend count, reaching 19, shows their gradually expanding social world. The physical world overwhelms Jack. Rain startles him, and at the mall, he marvels that inside could be as big as outside. Family relationships prove complicated. When Ma's father can't look at Jack, saying, "It makes me shudder," Ma fiercely defends her son. "He's the world to me." Ma's suicide attempt after a television interview reveals the strain of reintegration. Unlike Jack, who has no normal to return to, Ma must reconcile her current self with her pre-captivity identity. Her friend notes, "You'd have changed anyway. Moving into your 20s, having a child, you wouldn't have stayed the same." Their visit to room provides closure. Jack finds it smaller. It's not room anymore, without their things and with door open. Room is now just a crater, a hole where something happened, showing that places are defined by experiences, not boundaries. Room teaches us that perception creates reality. Jack's journey reminds us that freedom means finding wonder in whatever room we inhabit.